What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is my homie Jamie, who is filling in for Tess. We've got an update on her. She's doing better. She texted me, I want to say earlier today, to let me know that her speech isn't improved and the fog is going away. She doesn't have as much of a hard As hard, I can't talk today. She's not having a hard time dealing with like digital stuff anymore. So, I mean, she can't be on her phone for a long period of time, obviously, but she's not having headaches when she looks at her feed, like her Twitter or whatever. So that's good. The headaches and stuff are going away, and she's getting there. So I want to say she's gonna have another doctor visit, and they're gonna tell her what's what. And we'll go from there. Hopefully she will be back next week and be able to join, the cast going forward. Like I said, previous cast, this is not a Joe Budden situation. She has not been fired and she has given her blessing for us to continue. So I just want to throw that out there. So no one feels a way about Tess not being here. Tess is definitely an anchor on the show and she will return as soon as she feels better. For the people who don't know, you might be kind of confused about what's going on. The previous cast, she came on and said that she had suffered a concussion, and the doctor told her that she should, basically take a break for 2 weeks. So, not go to work, not watch TV, or basically give her brain a rest, and that included, speaking on a podcast. Also, her speech was affected by it, and so obviously that's not going to work if you're doing something where you have to talk all the time. If you're having trouble there, that's not going to work. And so she's, stepping back and just taking a break for a little bit. But again, she will be back soon. Prayers up for Tess. Beyond that, though, we want to talk to you about a couple of different things. This week, we know that if you're into gaming, you know that the Summer Games Fest is going on right now, and there's a lot of announcements just hitting the interweb, right? Like there's new game announcements, new IPs popping up everywhere, even a new studio today. That was interesting. Just a lot of new information. But before we get to that, because people are kind of getting out of the way of E3, the companies are announcing things before the big E3 press conferences and such, because they want to get their news out in the forefront before everything is drowned with the bigger announcements. And Studio released a trailer for a game called Pal World. And we want to talk about that because it's a divisive trailer. People felt the way.
That is that trailer is a roller coaster.
It is. When you first see the Pal World, or at least the trailer that they showed on Twitter, and this is done by Pocket Pair. They've done, I think, three other games. It's an indie developer. And a lot of them are similar to other games. And that's kind of what we felt with Pal World when we first saw, like, the first few bits of what was going on, that it was like Pokemon. And that's happened before. We've seen plenty of games that are similar to Pokemon or Digimon. And so this is nothing new. However, it took like an open world vibe, and it kind of reminded you a little bit of, I don't want to say Breath of the Wild, but it had like that cel shaded, you wanted to visit, you wanted to go there, essentially. And they had a bunch of Pokemon looking animals that were, battling one another. So it was similar, right? You're like, oh, okay, I've seen this sort of thing before. I wouldn't necessarily call it a Pokemon ripoff because we
Like
had, oh, go ahead.
what it looked like to me is it shared a lot with Temtem.
Right, and that's where I was kind of going. Like similar in the in scope, where these developers want to make something like Pokemon, but give the player something that Pokemon doesn't necessarily give. Maybe a MMO type world, or free roaming type stuff. Like just things that aren't in the normal Pokemon games. And so in that sense, I'm actually happy because I think that, outside of certain formulaic things, I think that it'll be a good idea to kind of give Pokemon a little run for its money. Maybe, the developer would actually want to incorporate more things if it has a little competition. Mind you, no one is competing with Pokemon. I'm just throwing that out there. But it would be interesting to have, Pokemon or that style of gameplay in a different set of games, similar to Digimon. Digimon's different, but or Monster. What was that game? Not Digimon. The monster game that was on Monster Rancher, like Monster Rancher,
Oh,
So
yeah.
something along those lines. Monster Rancher, Digimon, Pokemon, all, three different games, but they have a similar aesthetic and a similar, develop your own monster or creature type thing going on. So with Power World, I immediately was like, okay, cool, this is something different in a sense that they're doing the same thing, but they have their own spin. Boy, was I not prepared for the
So yeah, that spin wasn't a regular spin. That was like NASA astronaut training spinning. That thing
yeah,
was crazy.
I spin my neck off, like my head just flew off when I thought low key, and we're gonna tell you why in a sec, but I thought when I first saw it, I thought that it was an April Fool's joke that kind of was carried on. If you don't know, there's this game coming out, this Conan game, top-down Conan game that was an April Fool's joke that was so popular that the developer is making that into an actual game. I think it's Conan Chomp Chomp or something like that. So that's what I thought this was. I thought, oh, this is a joke that we're continuing. Like maybe this is an old tweet or whatever the case may be. And I realized it's not. It's actually coming out in 2022. So yeah, one of the first things you notice about it is that it's like Pokemon, but the characters have machine guns and rifles and shotguns, and they're shooting at people. So I'm like, oh, this is different. We do have the Pokemon or the pals fight each other, but then in the midst of fighting, someone's like, you know what? I'm just gonna pull out a gun and shoot you. Like I don't got time to do this. And I was like, oh, that's different. But then it turns dark.
That's an understatement.
And one of the characters or the protagonist grabs what looks like a sheep, like a sheep pal or whatever, and uses it as a shield to deflect bullets, and then tosses it aside like it's trash and goes about mowing people down. And I'm like, what am I looking at? What? Oh my gosh. And so like, yeah, so there's, shooting that they have a monster or a pal. Like I'm trying not to say Pokemon, but they have a pal who reminds me of I think Raichu a little bit. Really big, looks like he's an electric-based pal, and he's blocking bullets. He's also running and smacking humans left and right. Didn't they move into a scene where the Pokemon or the pals are building rifles? Like they're in like a slave shop, seemingly, because you can build, you
Yeah.
can farm, you can actually work in factory or make a factory, I think, or work in factories, or send your pals to work in factories. And so there's two images of that. There's one that looks like the monkey Pokemon from the previous I can't remember his name. But it looks like a bunch of those guys pushing like what looks like turbines, and they're crying as they're doing it. And then there's a group of Pokemon who are just making rifles on an assembly line, and they're unhappy. And then you see the character is on a flying pal, and it's like snatching up a bunch of them, and I guess going to use them as, in labor camps or whatever, like late labor or like on the farm or in the factory. But they're not happy either. They're just being scooped up. It seems like you're playing as Team Rocket, to be honest. Like they don't look like the good guys, for the most part. But yeah, it was interesting. And when I saw it, I immediately hit up Jamie because I know he's a big Pokemon fan, and I was like, tell me what. What do you see?
I see problems. Well, where do I even start? Like at first, when they're like traveling and looking around, I'm like, oh, this looks pretty cool. I mean, like, cause, like it gave me Temtem vibes immediately. Then she flies in on the bird pal with the gun, and she's like hanging by her arm and shooting. And I was like, all right, that's different. And then
Yeah.
yeah, when she grabbed that sheep, that was just messed up. Like the sheep is like crying, getting shot in the face. then tossed it to the side. There's some pals that are eerily similar to like a Pokemon that exists. Like those the Pokemon that are building the rifles, those are Leafeons. They're EV evolution.
Right, that's what it
Those
looks
are
like.
Leafeons. Then they got some mixes of like pals that look like they're almost from like what's it called, Miyazaki movies.
Oh,
They're
yeah.
like those type of animals, and then the slave labor with all the green monkeys spinning those wheels. Like it's like they hit a high point. We're like, oh, that's cool, and then you're like, whoa, whoa, and like who greenlit that? Like, did they not look at it and be like, probably shouldn't do this? Like, how? Like, they had so many good ideas, and then they didn't.
You know what's interesting? Because I saw a lot of people. So, like I said, it was divisive. There was people who thought that this was interesting, and there was people who thought like this was horrible. And I was kind of in the middle because, again, I thought it was a joke. But then on top of that, I was like, this could be a brilliant satire, in a way, because a lot of, I think one of the bigger criticisms of Pokemon, outside of the fact that the series doesn't change as much as people would like, is that it's basically it's a cuter version of like dog fighting in a way. Granted, Ash and the rest do care about the Pokemon. They do want you to treat them well and stuff like that. But as far as like the jobs that they do and not so much like I guess like regular animals like oxen would like, pulling stuff or whatever. Not like that. I mean like in terms of tournaments and fighting and so you can get badges and things. The Pokemon don't really get a say in that. And granted they're always drawn or they're always animated to be happy, like, yeah, I'll fight for, my trainer and all this other stuff. But on the low, it's kinda like, hey, I caught you in the wild, I domesticated you, and then now I need you to fight however many people until you evolve, and then I want you to fight some more. Like, and like I said, the characters do care about their Pokemon, so it's not exactly like dog fighting, but I can kind of understand the parallel where it's like you're just using animals to fight one another, right? And so when I first saw, after I kind of took Pal World in, I was like, oh, could this be like satire? Like, they're taking the Pokemon stuff and going an extra step further. Like, they're showing how maybe what we're doing with the Pokemon isn't all that positive. And that could be giving them too much credit because it was, they totally was able to, their campaign was successful in terms of getting people to talk about their game. I mean, we're talking about it now, all of a tweet. I would have never known about this developer if it wasn't for that tweet. But it went around really quickly, right? And so I'm like, is it a satire? Because if it is, I want to look into it. I think that there's a lot to be said about Pokemon that no one, a lot of people aren't saying right now because we kind of are okay with the cuteness and we're okay with certain elements and we kind of shy away from others. But then at the same time, if it's not a satire, I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I mean, and I'm not one of those people who are like, it shouldn't be made, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, this is not my cup of tea. So I'm curious to know what their thinking was. Because I can definitely see Nintendo being like, what the what? And Nintendo usually wins their lawsuits. But if it's satire, there's a lane for that. There's a lane to making fun of or, like poking holes in different things in terms of questioning, right? And so it's possible that if this is satire, they can sell it as satire that, they might be onto something, is what I'm trying to say. And so I'm curious. It's not something that I'm going to necessarily buy or pre-order or anything like that, but I will kind of check in when it gets closer to, whenever the release date is on Steam, kind of get close and kind of look at what it is they're trying to do. Because right now it's all over the place. Like they threw everything in. There's survival elements. There's the Pokemon-esque stuff. There's building factories and like, why are you manufacturing guns? Like why at what job usually when you're manufacturing something is because you're playing an RTS top down, you need resources. It's not a third person shooting game that you're getting resources from typically. So I'm like, what are they doing? Like, what are you making these Pokemon or these pals do? You know? So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. What this actually gave me a lot of vibes on, or have you seen the like PETA Pokemon clones?
I have not.
Yeah, there's a ton of like PETA Pokemon clones that like, you know, where they're, you know how PETA is. I don't have to explain that. But it gives me a lot of those vibes. So I initially thought it was like a joke too, just because the way everything looked at it looks like a serious like PETA Pokemon clone. Where they like and those Pokemon clones they like super escalate the violence. So yeah, just that's originally what I thought it was. I thought it was another one of those because there's like a million of them out.
And you know, the problem with PETA, not to cut you off, is that they go too far,
Yeah,
and it is
way
sometimes
too far.
because it's not a conversation anymore. I feel like with PETA, it's condemnation, and you don't really get far with that. You're not going to guilt me out of playing Pokemon. You're not. You can express why you think it's wrong. I can listen. You know what I mean? But you can't. I think it would be Pal World's version of that would make more sense because it seems ludicrous in power. So that's why I think it's satire. It seems ludicrous that someone would do this, and because of that, I'm more intrigued. But if it's just, you know, Pokemon being ripped to shreds and all that, I'm like, oh, I don't want to see that. That's not you. They are very blunt and very rude and very foolish with how they market their stance, and because of it,
Yeah.
they rub people the wrong way. Even people who more or less agree with them, they rub them the wrong way, and because of that, no one really, outside of like, you know, the hardcore PETA people, no one really cares. Because you remember when they did the thing with the Tanuki suits for Super Mario,
Yeah, it
they
was that and the Cooking Mama one too.
right, and I'm like, really, like really, like PETA at this point in your, I don't know, company's career or you know life or whatever, you could have made a game that was like a Cooking Mama with all veggies or whatever the case may be, and that would have been better. Make a solid game, invest, or have a developer do it, and you just invest in them, and boom, you have a option for people who don't want to play something like Cooking Mama. You know what I'm saying? But like to have this like campaign where you want people to kind of boycott, that game is mad charming and mad. It was maybe, you know, it's not something that you would want to step all over in terms of a developer or just what they're trying to do with the game. You know, it was a game that had no violence. There was no shooting or fighting. Even the what I forgot the cooking game that has the puzzles in between, popular indie game, I can't remember it, but that game had you had to go out and fight monsters and get ingredients and come back and cook. It's not even like that. It's like just a basic cooking game, and you went bananas on it, you know. So like, PETA is like, ah, if this is what that is, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm not a fan of PETA.
Yeah, there's not many. There's not many fans, honestly, that I know of that are sane. I'll leave it with that. Yeah.
So yeah, so Pal World is interesting, and like I said, that developer got that out before kind of E3, you know, kind of kicked off because there was so many things going on, or there's going to be so many things going on that, you know, things are just blowing by in terms of like information coming out and whatnot. You know, that the Gorilla Showcase was pretty decent. I saw a little bit of it. We're not going to talk about it here just because we're moving on to the Summer Game Fest, but they did have a section that was where they showcased black voices in gaming, and it was all black developers. There was I wanted to highlight a couple. There's a husband and wife, black developers that are producing a game, or you know, developing a game, doing really well with their games, and they have six kids. The fact that they can actually continue to do this is amazing. I don't know how. The games are hard enough by themselves, but being an indie developer with six kids and you're able to find the time, like, that's pretty great. You know, so yeah, shout out to them. I forgot the name of their studio. And I'll probably like post that somewhere in the description. But yeah, we saw a lot of cool, you know, cool developers and at different stages of their games, which is always dope. It's always nice, you know, for that sort of thing. Moving on to the Summer Games Fest, though, a lot of stuff was shown. Shout out to Jeff Keighley for, going through it and being the dope host that he is. We got just a few points here. We're not going to talk about these games because they're not necessarily the highlights. There was Fast and Furious, DLC, I believe, for Rocket League. Those 2 Point Campus was announced for all the 2 Point fans out there. Shout out to y'all. Call of Duty Warzone Season 4 was teased with, I believe it has a new zombie mode or is new.
Yeah, uncaged.
Yeah, which looked interesting. They had the it looks like a zombie dragon in the trailer. I don't know what that's about, but it looked cool.
Yeah, I think the zombies was more for Cold War.
Oh.
They showed like a season four of Cold War plus season four of Warzone. So it was some things that you would see in Warzone, some things that you'll see in only in Cold War, like the maps they announced.
Got you. Okay. And that's going to be kicking off on June 17th when all that stuff comes out. The new season is expected to launch on June 14th, though. So, or I'm sorry, the season 4 of Call of Duty Warzone is June 17th, but they're going to show more details on the 14th. We also got Among Us Hide and Seek, which I'm not a really big Among Us fan. Shout out to the developers for, getting the second wind after it was streamed and whatnot, and people love it. I don't like it, but it's getting a new mode and Jeff Keighley mask, so shout out to them. There was also Jurassic World Evolution with Jeff Goldblum, who Jamie feels is weird. I think everyone thinks he's weird. I think that's his appeal, though.
No, the thing is he's weird, but I don't know how. He like there's so many things where you're like, have you seen some of the tweets to him? He turned into like a sex icon, and I can't see why.
Well, I mean, I don't think it would probably be our place to see, but yeah, it's interesting. I think it's interesting how diehard people are for him. I like his acting. I think he's a great actor. I like generally every film he's been in, but as far as like his charisma and his, I don't know, the vibe he gives whenever he's on an award show or like a show like this, I'm like, why? But to each their own. It could have been worse. Ubisoft has done it for years, have had really bad hosts. Outside of like two, it's just been cringe all day. So I, do what you do. There was also Death Stranding, the director's cut. I thought it was hilarious that they made the game longer.
I did kind of like the like video they showed though, just because of all the Metal Gear references, where like he jumped into the box and he was like, "Nah, F that."
Well, yeah, and the fact that Kojima was taking shots by showing the box and like zeroing in on the fact that it was fragile, so it was like kind of saying like Konami is fragile. I thought that was pretty cool. The way they knocked the oranges over, because like if you look at the box from Metal Gear Solid, it says like caution oranges or basically don't ruin the fruit that's inside this box. And in that game, Death Stranding, he just throws the oranges all over the ground. So I think it's another shot at Konami, which I'm down for. I'm not mad at it. Be petty.
Yeah,
And
Kojima was big on that. He does that a lot.
then we also got Smite is getting Stranger Things multiplayer content in terms of customizations. I'm a big fan of Smite. I know not like a ton of people aren't. But they've been doing really well with their battle passes. They've had the Ninja Turtles, they had Avatar, The Last Airbender, and they have Stranger Things. They've also had anime. They had actual voice actors from different anime come in to voice some of the characters that are similar. They also had from Rooster Teeth, the what's the name of that show? I think it's Red. Is it called Red? I can't remember the name
From
of it.
Rooster Teeth, do you mean Red versus Blue, the Halo one, or
No.
no?
It's the other show that they have where it's like animated, but it's all 3D animation and it's all like super cool combat. Let me pull up Rooster Teeth real quick. But they had that. Let's see, Rooster Teeth. They had that show show's content on there as well. But yeah, so they're pulling a lot of content from third parties or like from other basically licensed content, and I think it's really cool. Ruby, there you go. Red, white, blue, and yellow. Ruby. So that CG animated show, they had special skins for that as well. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff if you're a fan of these various properties and you like Smite. So basically I'm saying I'm going to be picking that up when it comes out. That comes out in July. Moving on, we also had, okay, so we're going to get to, I guess, the stuff that we're going to be talking about a little bit deeper. One of them is being Metal Slug Tactics. I didn't expect this at all, but then when I looked at the developer, I was like, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense. And, you know, shout out to, first of all, shout out to SNK for allowing this to happen. SNK, Konami, a bunch of these developers are very, you know, they're very protective of their licenses. They're very protective of their IP. And so knowing that SNK kind of gave the green light to make this game, shout out to them. Shout out to them. But this is Don't Mod, I think that's how you pronounce it. Pronounce the developer. They're the ones who brought about the Streets of Rage 4. They brought about, oh, they're also bringing out, oh no, I'm sorry, it's not Dot Mod, it's Dot Mu, it's
Emu.
Dot Emu. I never pronounce that right. Essentially though, they make a lot of retro inspired games in new ways, where it, you know, even though Streets of Rage 4 is basically the same with, you know, modern trappings, they also made newer games that are a little bit different in these old, you know, IPs, one of them being Metal Slug. If you didn't see the trailer, Metal Slug Tactics is a top-down RTS game. Sorry, not RTS, turn-based game, where you play as the Metal Slug people, but it has all the wackiness of the Metal Slug franchise. If you know what I'm talking about, the cartoony explosions and deaths, the, you know, super weapons, the giant tanks and mechs and monsters and all this other stuff, all that is in the game, but it's done from a turn-based style. And it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of vibes from Final Fantasy Tactics. It actually looks a lot like it, just in a more cartoony format. And if they could incorporate like the main Metal Slug features in it, like find a way to like throw in like some what's the word I'm looking for? Like some fan service. It would be awesome, like if there is a part where like you could get like a like let's say a zombie unit and he has like that blood wave, that'd be awesome. There's just like so much they could do with it. And like if you pick up like a power up, I want to hear a rocket launcher and stuff like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, it looks like it though. Like they showed them using like one of their tanks and shooting a bridge, and the bridge comes down and falls on people. And you know, they have the animated, you know, when they die, they usually flip about, and you know, they don't just like disappear. Like they really go into the animations, and so they showed a lot of that too. During the trailer, and they also showed what I thought was cool was the POWs, the guys who are tied up, that are, you know, that you have to go and save. Because usually when you save them, you get a weapon. You know, they give you something. Either it's an item that gives you points for your score, or it's a like a new power up weapon or something like that. And so the fact that you still see them on the map tells me that getting to them will net you some type of power up. When you go to fight the bad guys. So, yeah. And then also, they show that they still have the big bosses, you know, the giant robotic bosses or whatever from the series. So, yeah, I assume it's gonna have a lot of the Metal Slug vibes. And the fact that they have all the characters, all the main characters from the different Metal Slugs, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, like I'm definitely Theo all day. All day.
So yeah, so definitely looks good. It's headed to Steam. I'm pretty sure it's gonna come to, you know, Switch or, you know, console. Like it makes sense on Switch. Like any turn-based game like this makes sense on handheld. Like it just does. That's why Fire Emblem does so well. That's why, you know, all of those style games, they do just it just makes sense to jump into a match on the go. You know, do what you need to do, and then bounce off. So I'm looking forward to it. They don't have a date, like a release date just yet, or release time, I don't think. They other than the fact that it's headed to Steam. And yeah, I'm looking
It
forward
is
to it.
already on it actually is already listed on Steam, and you could add it to your wish list.
Right, which is a good thing for anybody who's looking to support these type of games. Not so much with this particular team because they're pretty well known at the I believe at this point they're pretty well known, which is why they're locking in all these IPs. But with indie games, if you're a fan or you want to kind of signal boost, whitelisting actually helps, or wishlisting actually helps, because it tells Steam that, oh, a lot of people want this game, so when it gets near time to release, it'll be put on the main screen or the main, page for Steam. That's something I found out not too long ago. So if it's a game you're looking forward to, go ahead and, you don't have to put any money down. Just add it to a wish list. Boom. Another game we wanted to talk about was Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. And yeah. First of all, this is going to be awesome. Or assumedly, right? Because Borderlands is very hit or miss when it comes to the writing. Borderlands is, there's a lot of things that we like about Borderlands, and there's some things that we don't. And I don't know how looter shooter works with a top-down Diablo style game. But the idea that we have Borderlands in a fantasy inspired world, that just sounds freaking cool. And the fact that it has Tiny Tina, like, that seems interesting. We didn't get to see any gameplay, unfortunately. It launches early next year, so they're probably gonna wait to kind of show off, or we might get some gameplay later on because this is like the early stuff, the Summer Fest. We still have the actual E3 to go through, so we might see it during someone, one of these the company's presentations. Maybe 2K. I know 2K is doing something, and Gearbox is under 2K, so they might have it during their showing or whatever. But I'm eager to see gameplay. The trailer showed a guy crafting a weapon. A dragon comes and he turns around and it's a gun and he's shooting at the dragon. Yeah, I'm interested. What about you?
Yeah, it gave me the Borderlands 2 DLC. What was it called? The Keep. It seemed a lot like that. I think it could actually be a follow-up specifically to that DLC.
Really?
And yeah, because man, what's it called? The Keep? Dragon's Keep.
Yeah,
I believe that's what it's called in Borderlands 2. So it just looks like a follow-up just because the way it's based. So I'm thinking it's gonna be something similar to that. I just hope that there's enough different about it. The problem with Borderlands is the way Borderlands is, I don't know how you make it different and good. So a little skeptical on it, although they spent money on that cast. You see
They
who they
did.
had it? Yeah, Andy Samberg, Wanda Sykes, which I'm pretty excited about that. She's funny in a lot of stuff. And Will Arnett is great. So hopefully it's not just get the big money people here, and it doesn't matter how good it is because they'll buy it because the big people are there.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I think the property, the IP, is malleable, right? Because we had Tales from the Borderlands, which I think is, it's one of my favorite Borderlands games. And the story is really good. But it was also made by Telltale. So yeah, there's potential for Borderlands to do a whole lot of different stuff. Will Gearbox actually, make it so that it's different or different enough to justify its existence? And I know that sounds a little kind of odd, like, justify its existence. But really, though, we have multiple Borderlands games, and you're moving into a new genre. If you make it exactly like, the other Borderlands games, but just have it top down, it's not gonna do much. It's not gonna, I don't know. I don't know. It's not, it just, it'll just
Yeah,
be Borderlands with top down.
I think that'll just like do more damage than good at this point. Because Borderlands 3, in terms of, I'm not talking about sales, now I'm talking about the time after the sales. Borderlands 3 isn't as popular as Borderlands 2 1. The longevity just wasn't there. Borderlands 2 was a popular game for like 5 plus years. Borderlands 3 is like it was already on the downslope. only a few months after it came out. So,
Now, was that partially because they had it exclusive to Epic for at first?
well, yeah, because that Epic controversy really hurt. But I just don't that from a lot of people I know, they although they say the gunplay is better overall, the game itself, most people I've talked to don't seem to like it as much. And if I'm not mistaken, even the scores weren't as high as Borderlands 2, in terms of like review scores. So it's I just hope that they could find something to really push that game up and kind of bring back the popularity, because I feel like if it does bad, it's just going to hurt the franchise in general, and then you're just kind of like hoping the movie picks it up.
Oh
We
God,
just gotta see.
that's setting the bar super high. If the if the movie's gonna save it, yeah, that's if you're banking on a video game film to save your franchise, yeah, I'm
I
gonna.
don't Well, let me make it clear. I don't think the franchise is going anywhere. Like, I think even this does bad, it's still gonna be like, it would take a couple of bad releases in order to bring down Borderlands. Borderlands was huge.
Right. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing more about it. I'm not 100% sold. I did play Borderlands 3. I beat it, and I didn't start the DLC. Like I bought, Epic was doing a sale for Borderlands 3 because of it was moving over to Steam, and they kind of wanted to get more people to play on Epic, and so they released a, I guess, Game of the Year version, and it was mad cheap, and I got it. But I don't have any real desire to play through the DLC at
Yeah, I feel you
all. And I want to because I bought it, but then I don't. And so that kind
on
of tells you where I'm at with it. Whereas Borderlands 1, I played all the DLC. Borderlands 2, I beat all of it except for one. So I guess the looter shooter formula is wearing thin a little bit. And the tweaks that they made, like you said, to the gunplay has been positive, but it's not enough to kind of keep me going. I think if the writing was better, if the characters were a little bit better, there's a lot of things that they could do to kind of tweak it that would make it a little bit more interesting to play. And I think this could do it. I think Tiny Tina's Wonderlands could do it if the writing is good. If you care about these characters a little bit more than just kind of going through the motions for the most part, even though Borderlands 3 had a story, it's still, I don't know many people that cared about it. It's like, oh yeah, you got to do something. There's a little bit of story through the intercom. There's a cutscene. Someone dies. Okay, and then you kind of move on. Like it's nonsensical. It's not really, it's whatever. And that's kind of how I felt. So hopefully this is better. But Tiny Tina is one of our favorite characters, and we never got to play as her before. One thing I'm worried about is us not being able to play as her, where she's like just an NPC that kind of gives you missions, like in Borderlands. And I get why they would do that because everyone would pick her, right? But it would be nice to be able to play as her in one of these games. So, yeah, that's Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Also, the title Wonderlands. I wonder if she's like it's like a multiverse type thing or a multi-planet thing. I don't know.
So that's why I was kind of saying it kind of like reminded me of the DLC, because the DLC, it wasn't really happening. It was a board game that they were playing, and at the end you find that out it wasn't really happening. It was just they were playing a Dungeons and Dragons type board game. So being that it's called Wonderland,
Oh.
it makes me think like a Wonderland is something that's in their head, and Tina's crazy, so she probably has a very vivid imagination. I feel like it's more that than anything else, probably what they're going for.
Got you. Well, okay. Well, we'll be keeping our eyes out for that. So another game we wanted to talk about, Lost Ark, which I thought was hilarious, not because of the game itself. I think the game looked okay for a free-to-play MMORPG. But it was funny to me because it said that, Amazon was kind of helping bring this game over to the States. And at first, I didn't know that, though. At first, I thought this was Amazon's game's game. And it's not. because I was like, oh, they launched a game and it's successful. What? No, they're actually bringing it over here. This is a win for Amazon, though. This is a win, because if it does well, then obviously, they're gonna recoup, or re yeah, they're gonna get some money back for their investment, bringing it over to our side. But it's just hilarious when it was like Amazon Games. I'm like, ah, do you really want to tell everybody? They haven't been doing too well. If you haven't, haven't noticed their track record in terms of launching successful games. And what I mean by launching successful games, I mean launching a game within a week, knocking it back down to beta, and then after that, just canceling it completely. Like, it was very fast. Like, they've canceled. And some games just disappeared altogether, not even a launch. So, hearing that they had something to do with Lost Ark was like, hilarious. However, I don't know too much about the game itself because I'd heard about it, but I haven't seen it played or, done any research about the game. But Jamie, you've kind of, had your eye on that for a while, right?
Yeah, so I followed the game for a couple of years. A couple of YouTubers I follow, because I play Diablo 3 a lot. So there's a couple of Diablo 3 YouTubers that deal in just action RPGs in general. So I've been hearing about the game for a couple of years, and this game is super popular worldwide, or at least in the countries it's available, which is I believe South Korea, Russia, and Japan. And people have been asking for this, like communities have been asking for this for years already. So the fact that it's actually coming over, I think that's probably why Amazon did it, because they know that there's already a following for this game. There's people that download VPNs just to play this, and they'll play on VPN, even though it's an MMO and they have a horrible connection because you're a VPN plus a couple of, 1,000 miles away. So there's fans that are willing to do that. So once it comes to the States, I can't see how it won't do well. Animations are great, world is great. Combat is great. The combat has some actually it has some reason why I was interested in it. It has some Marvel Heroes vibes, so I'm really excited to try it since that game died like 3 4 years ago, and I've been like going through hell ever since. Yeah, it's definitely something I'm interested in. I think this is gonna be the one that actually makes Amazon like say, hey, it was worth it.
Well, that's good. That's good. Shout out to Amazon. I hope it works out, and it does well. Like I said, like you were saying, like people are interested in playing it, so there's already an audience. And with it coming over here, it's just going to improve the community. It's going to improve, you might get, some new content even. That's what happened with Phantasy Star. When Phantasy Star was brought over, we have all this idea of like new content and things that could happen because the audience is now bigger. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, seeing more about it. I'm not sure if I'm going to jump in just yet, and that's mainly because I have too many games to play. Like Phantasy Star, was it New Genesis or whatever is out?
Yeah. Yep.
And so that's probably gonna take up some time, you know what I mean? So I mean, it's just too many games, man. And this is not a bad problem to have per se, right? Like it's these are both free to play games. At the same time, I don't have that much time. I just don't. Another game we wanted to hit on was, and I guess mostly me, is Endless Dungeon. Now, Endless Dungeon is. To me, it looked like a top-down shooter that had a lot of the endless elements. If you played Dungeon of the Endless, you know that it's mostly a I don't want to say turn-based. It's kind of turn-based. You basically have a it's a roguelike game in the endless world and slash tower defense. You have a crystal that you have to take to an exit, and you have these mercenaries that you hire or find. And they, when you unlock a room or go into a room, they automatically engage with whoever's in that room. And it's kind of a bit of a roll of a dice, but it's also based on the, turrets and other things that you placed with them before going into the room. But once they go into the room, they start fighting, and you can kind of tell them a little bit of what to do, like to run away or to heal or something like that. But for the most part, they do their own thing. And the way you kind of, balance that out is by preparation. But this particular game, Endless Dungeon, is all of that is in real time. You are using different heroes, different characters, and it's kind of like a, I don't want to say Diablo, but it looks kind of like that, where you're top down, you're telling them what to do, and you're fighting monsters or waves of monsters. You still have the crystal that you have to protect, but you actually can move in real time, and you can actually play with other people who can move in real time too. And I thought that was really, really cool, because Dungeon of the Endless, and just the Endless games in general, from Amplitude Studios, are really good. Like, really good. I like the world, the vibe that they create. I think the closest thing I could think of is like Risk of Rain, in the sense how you have, mercenaries, you have robots, you have, wizards, you have, it's kind of like a mashup of fantasy and sci-fi, and they're all really freaking good. So I'm looking forward to this one. This one also is a roguelite, so it has some of those, permadeath elements and stuff like that, where you have to start over a new run. And the fact that it's co-op, any roguelite that has co-op gets extra few points for me, because they all seem the same. They all kind of do the same things or have the same motions, different degrees. Hades isn't like Dead Cells and vice versa, but there are certain elements that are present, and just having co-op kind of breaks that up a little bit, give you a little bit of a breathing room, or just to be a little different, right? So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I also like the art design. I think they do a really good job of in terms of colors and stylization of the characters and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if they have a, I'm trying to see if they have a date of sorts. I don't think so. I guess just coming soon. I thought it was sometime this year, but we'll see. But yeah, Sega, I think, is publishing it. So we should be seeing it soon. Should be seeing it soon. Let's see. Another game was Back for Blood. Now, I'm already sold on this game. I'm a Left 4 Dead fan. I like Turtle Rock and most of everything that they do. I liked the beta when I played it. There are some sticking points. I don't know how the card system works 100%, and I'm not a fan of card systems for games like this. At the very least, I get it, because it's not versus, but they also do have a versus mode that they're going to be showing, which I assume is similar to the Left 4 Dead versus modes. But yeah, the card system kind of makes things a little too random for me. But beyond that, I'm looking forward to it. Jamie, you felt otherwise.
Yeah, like at first, like immediately at the initial like reveal, like I was super hyped for it. It was like, oh, a new Left 4 Dead, and it really didn't hit me that like I wasn't that excited about it until the beta came out, and I got into that beta, and as I was playing it feels, in my opinion, too much like Left 4 Dead, and then the card system kind of feels tacked on to make it appear a lot more different than it is, kind of like, if you walked in somewhere and had a mask on. Like it's just you pull off the mask and it's the same thing. You're the same guy. Yeah, it just like I don't want to sound pessimistic about it. I just maybe I just have to play more of it. It didn't draw me in. Usually after a beta, if I like the game, I like the game. And I'm like, I need to hibernate for a couple of months in order to get this here faster. But I didn't get that feel. Like it got delayed from summer to, I believe, October, and I was like, all right, that's cool. Like I just it didn't give me any urgency to like usually when something is delayed, the initial response is, I'm mad about it because it got delayed. But I didn't get that. I wasn't mad because I didn't care. It just didn't draw me in, and I don't feel like the characters that were in there in the beta really, they weren't as cool as like Cole. So
I could see
I don't know,
that.
I just like the Left 4 Dead characters better, and it just feels a lot like what I've done before without adding enough different to make me really like it.
And I get that. I mean, I when I was playing it, it felt like I was back in Left 4 Dead. It felt like Left 4 Dead 3, if that ever gets made.
It won't.
And
Valve can't count to three.
They can't at all. But that was enough for me because I'm such a big Left 4 Dead fan. I'm a big zombie fan. I did feel a lot of samey vibe in terms of the monsters that you fight, like the special infected. I think that they need to, and granted, this is just a beta, but I think they need to branch out. I don't think the card system is where it's at. I think they need to branch out in terms of how you approach a situation, the randomness of it, the special infected definitely. Like if you have a tank like character who's just a tank, like the previous tank, it doesn't do anything. However, there were some highlights. The big giant boss dude who was optional to fight, I thought that was pretty dope. If they
Yeah,
have
that
more of
was
that,
cool.
yeah, if they have more of that, but like different for per level. Because he was scripted, like he came up at the same time every time, so that kind of throws off the randomness of it. But if something like that is scripted per level, where there's like a huge threat on top of like the normal stuff, I could definitely get into that. I think that would be really cool in terms of replay value. I also want them to do a little bit some things that Left 4 Dead does or Left 4 Dead 2 does, where they change up how you go about completing a run. For instance, with Left 4 Dead 2 versus Left 4 Dead 1, you had tasks you had to complete. You had to fill up a, gas, put gas in a car. You had to unlock something or do this. It wasn't just like stand off and fight the horde. Like Left 4 Dead 1 was a lot of that. Left 4 Dead 2 has that as well, but it's usually like, you open a store, to get weapons or whatever, and there's alarm. You have to go and turn the alarm off. If you don't turn the alarm off, the zombies are going to keep coming. And so it made you kind of like you have to keep moving. And this kind of had that in Spaces, but not really. The boat area, which I think because the beta wasn't balanced, was diff way more difficult than it needed to be, or at least it felt that way, but not in a good way. It felt just unbalanced and I guess a little tedious. There was also some bugs, so yeah. But I think that it has promise. I'm looking forward to playing the beta or the open beta when it drops later this year to kind of see more. I'm with you on the card system. It does feel tacked on. It doesn't feel like it's needed. It doesn't even feel like it actually changed anything that, when we played outside of like maybe have, your bat swings do extra damage or something like that. But that's not. Nah, whatever. I'm not even using the bat this run. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I don't. Yeah, whatevs. But I am looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to it. The next game we want to talk about real quick is Elden Ring. People were losing their minds with this. It's a game that's a collaboration with George R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones, as well as From Software, who made Dark Souls and Bloodborne. So you can imagine. You can imagine what people were getting at in terms of this game. And it's open world, I believe. So or it's action RPG like the Dark Souls series, but it's more open. And yeah, that's all I know about it for the most part. Other than the fact that it's dropping on January 21st, which is my birthday. So if anybody wants to buy it for me for a gift, I will not be mad at you. I'm just saying. If you ever thought I was going to be pissed because you bought me Elden Ring on my birthday, I'm here to let you know I will not be upset at all. But yeah, it's coming to all the systems, essentially.
Yeah.
And, well, except for Switch.
Last gen too. Isn't it coming to last gen as well? Like PS4 and Xbox One?
I believe so. I don't. Is it coming to Switch? I'm not sure. Which it
I'd
could.
be no, I'd be surprised if it comes to Switch.
Well, I believe it could come to Switch. It's not. It's PS4, Xbox One, Windows, and then it'll also be coming to PS5, Xbox Series
Series.
X. But yeah, I, you know, but the Switch has done, with the cloud stuff. That's how they got bigger games on it before. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, or it comes to the Switch Pro if that's an actual thing. You never know. But as of right now, it's only for those particular consoles. We did get to see gameplay this time and not just story trailer stuff, which I'm always down for. And it looked cool. I don't know if I'm gonna get it because Dark Souls and Bloodborne aren't 100% my vibe, but I would like to try. So I don't want to discourage you from getting it for my birthday. Again, it's on January 21st when it drops. But yeah, it seems like definitely something in your wheelhouse, Jamie.
Yeah, I was super hyped for the game. Like, I was like, as soon as the trailer started, I immediately said, "Why haven't you taken my money yet? I want this game." Because the main thing, Demon's Souls on the PS5, just because of the way the game looked, like it was one of my favorite games of last year, and this is that with a George R.R. Martin story. Hopefully, where I don't have to find, you know, a billion piece small little items to give me lore about everything, where they actually tell you. I just hope there's more of a story than what you get in Dark Souls, because finding the lore in Dark Souls is rough. Like, you gotta look at it, go to every nook and cranny and try to find it. I just want to know the story. Like, tell me the story. Don't make me look for it. yeah. So it's just, this is something that's been so hype, where people thought it just wasn't going to happen. Because I believe it was a couple of years ago when they announced it. And then it was just disappeared for years, where people thought it was like canceled or something, and they just never said anything. Like, I thought it was going to be another Scalebound situation, where it just, you know, fell off the face of the planet. But yeah, I'm so glad it came out. This gave me almost the same, like almost the same, not exactly the same because the nostalgia isn't there since it's a new IP, but it gave me almost the same feel as like the Final Fantasy VII Remake announcement. Like I feel like it was that big. Everything about the game looks beautiful. Like even after the trailer showed on, GamesFest, like I went to Bandai Namco's YouTube page and tried to find the 4K trailer, and I started watching it in 4K just to make it look even better, and everything just looks so beautiful. I just want to play this. I want to play this and die in this world multiple times repeatedly.
See that's a problem right there. That. but no, I heard some people saying that the Demon's Souls remake looked better actually, and maybe it could have been because it was being streamed. Because, you know, they can only do but so... The quality can be only so good when you're streaming. And so, you know, that could be why that some people felt that way. But it looked interesting just because it's... And again, this goes back to the formula, right? The reason why I think Bloodborne did so well, the reason why I think Sekiro did so well is because they took something that's familiar and tweaked it enough that it feels brand new. So if you're a fan, and maybe you're not, maybe if you like Bloodborne, you might not like Sekiro, but there's a potential that you could like it because it's something a little different, or that someone who doesn't like Bloodborne might like Sekiro, you know, because it's different enough. And so like you have all these, you know, Souls games that feel really, really good, but are different. And that's what I want for, you know, Gearbox. If they're going to do this thing with Borderlands, I want you to kind of be different enough. You know, it's still in the same world, I guess, but be different enough so that maybe you even get new fans, or you kind of, you know, get the old fans who kind of bounced off back on. And so, you know, like I said, I'm not huge on Demon Souls or Dark Souls. I still struggle at Bloodborne. I've beaten a few bosses, but that's about it. I still need to go back and try to finish that. But I really, really dug Sekiro. And so... Yeah, I'm looking. I wanna play it. I'm interested. Or at the very least, I'll watch Jamie stream it.
And that'll definitely be happening because that is the week before my birthday.
See, there you go. So you just need to take a vacation for your birthday, 2 week vacation. Boom, Elden Ring.
That's definitely gonna happen because I get my PTO that week also. So fresh 60 hours, I could take 60 hours off.
That's what's up. All right, so that's pretty much the big stuff from the Game Fest. This was the first day.
Oh, what? There was one we forgot.
Oh, we did?
Yes, the Evil Dead game.
Oh, all right. So I'm a fan of Evil Dead, both of the films. The show, not as much, but it was – I enjoyed the show, but I liked the movies more. The show leans more into the comedy, and I like the more horror aspects of the Evil Dead series. So like, you know, the third film, I like it, but I don't. So that's where the series kind of goes with the show. It kind of goes more that route, but it's all entertaining. Also, it had Xena, the woman who played Xena Warrior or whatever, Warrior Princess or whatever. She's in the show, which also gives it extra cool points.
What's her name? Lucy Lawless.
Yes, I think. Wait, is it Lucy Lawless? Let me see. Xena, Warrior
Yeah.
Princess.
Yeah,
Yes.
she was in Spartacus also.
Yeah. So they got extra points for that. But anywho, so looking at the trailer, it looks like a little bit of a couple of other games, but in a good way. It remind me a little bit of Left 4 Dead, or like maybe World War Z-ish. It also reminded me of a little bit of Friday the 13th, the official video game,
Yeah.
in terms of how the versus mode is, where you can be one of the Deadites, or you can be. They even showed the leading Deadite, the ruler from the third film, stabbing up someone with a sword. So that
Yeah,
was
the
pretty
guy in the
cool.
end, right?
Yeah, the guy
The
at
guy
the
in the
end.
end, really? Yeah, that thing looked nuts. Like, it looks fun. Like,
Yeah.
I want to play that. I want to cut somebody up like that.
Yeah, like you get Ash's chainsaw, you know, you get his sawed-off shotgun, you get other characters from the other films, you even get the locations from like the first and second film, which is pretty great, being able to visit that house and you know, kind of fight off monsters there. I don't know, I need to go back and kind of look at what the overall gameplay style is, because I was jumping back and forth from different streams and whatnot, but. That's why I said it reminded me a little bit of Friday the 13th, a little bit of Left 4 Dead, a little bit of some other stuff, because I didn't know what the actual goal was outside of survival. And these four different players, because I believe it's co-op, the four different people kind of moving through as a unit fighting these monsters. I didn't really get what the end goal was. If it's Left 4 Dead-ish, where you're like, make it to the exit and you start a new map, or if it's like story-based or, you know, things of that nature. My point is, though, it doesn't matter. I want to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked really good. And it had the you know, the voice actors, the actual actors doing
Yeah,
the
that
voice
was
work.
awesome. I do like when they do that, when they keep the same voice actors, just because it just makes it feel better.
Right. I'm just waiting for what's his name to be like groovy when he shoots someone. I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, so that is, I want to say this year, right?
Hope so. I really hope so, because it feels like all the games are coming out on, like, it feels like every game is like coming out on the same damn day, and then there's a big delay, and then they release all the other games on the same day, and then there's like another 2 months with nothing. Like, they don't spread them out. I needed to come out this year, around, not near anything else, please. Just like release it in like a random day in like the like middle of August or something. Just stay away from other stuff.
Yes. It looks like it just has a 2021 release. And it's being developed by Saber Interactive and published by Boss Team Games. I'm not familiar with their work, but
I have
yeah.
no clue who they are.
It looks good. Cooperative gameplay and player versus player. So looking forward to that. Shout out to Bruce Campbell and everybody who's a part of the, you know, developing this game. The previous Evil Dead games weren't horrible either. They're actually pretty fun in their own right. So, yeah, shout out to them. The next thing we want to talk about actually has nothing to do with gaming. That has to do with everything Marvel. We want to talk about Loki. Now this is a part of the podcast where we have to warn you, we're going to have some spoilers. If you are new to the podcast, just to let you know. We typically spoil the first episode of whatever show that we're talking about. We talk about the other episodes kind of vaguely so we don't spoil anything. But the first episode we spoil, and we figure that everybody doesn't. People more so care about the ending, not so much the beginning. So, unlike other podcasts that kind of spoil everything, we figure like we would kind of just do the first episode. See if you're interested. And if you are, we will recommend it to you for you to go check out. Because it's just the first episode, you know? You don't know what's gonna happen. Episode 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. So again, this is where we spoil stuff. If you want to bounce out, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell if you're listening on YouTube, and also subscribe or add us to your RSS feed if you're listening on Apple, Google, Amazon, Deezer, Stitcher, all those other places. All right, awesome. For everybody else, let's talk Loki. This may be, and I know this is just the first episode, this may be the best series, Marvel series, on Disney Plus so far.
Yeah. This is giving me some, what's the word? It's giving me like rookie LeBron James vibes. like GOAT series on Disney Plus. Like, this first episode was great. It was awesome.
It was. So for those who don't know, Loki takes place right after, and this is another spoiler if you haven't watched, you know, the last two Avenger movies. There's a part in the movie where the Avengers go back in time. They are trying to look for the Infinity Stones because they need to undo Thanos' snap. And on their way there, they bump into Loki, who's being carted off. You know, because like at the end of the Avengers film, he gets arrested. He goes back to Asgard. And then that's when the whole second Thor movie takes place. This time, the Hulk bumps into Captain America, who's trying to steal the Tesseract. And Loki sees it, grabs it, teleports away. And he basically breaks the timeline. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he is captured by the Time Police. They're not called the Time Police. I just like calling them the Time Police. But he's captured by, this Time Patrol. I forget.
Time Variance Authority.
Yeah, Time Variance Authority. And basically whisked away to their offices to, be in a trial. You know, he's going to court, essentially. Which, I want to speak about that, right? How is it that they have these people come up and they ask them, do you plead guilty or innocent? But they know that they're guilty. That's the whole point of them stopping them in the timeline and bringing them back, is that they know that they're guilty. The only thing I could think of where someone wouldn't be guilty is if, I don't know, they were standing around someone who broke the timeline and got pushed, you know, into an alternate time, and then they're like, okay, we're gonna bring you back. We're going to reset you or whatever. But the way they do it, or at least what they showed on the, because they had this little Fallout video where little cartoon characters play out what happens. And essentially what they do is they take the person who broke the time, timeline. They take that version of him. They rewind time back to when he broke the time, and they let that person move on. But the person who, you basically make two of you. And they take that person and they kill him. They make him like as if he never existed. And the other one kind of goes on the timeline the way they're supposed to go. And so when they get to that part in the show, I'm like, why are you even asking him? Like, what is this for? Because you know he broke the timeline. Like, as he's like saying he's not guilty, you read off what he does. He takes the Tesseract, he leaves, and that splits everything up because he's supposed to go back. And, you know, if you saw the second Thor movie, this is another spoiler, although you should have seen it by now, he inadvertently gets his mother killed. And that's supposed to happen. It moves all the other, building blocks of the story in place for other things to happen. And so when he does that, when he's out of time, it ruins that story. And which ruins other things, and which could throw everything out of the whack, and all this other stuff. And so, they ask him, is he guilty? I'm like, dog, why are you asking him? Like, I would be upset too.
Real court.
It's not real court.
They're treating it like that, though. So the same thing they do here. They always give you your arraignment process. So you gotta, are you guilty or not? I sure you shoot him in the face, but I mean, are you guilty? Did he do it? You could say no. You're gonna lose, but you can say no.
I guess. But yeah, that whole just being in there was hilarious. Where they take his clothes and he's like, "What? Just wait a minute." And they drop him down, and then, the guy's asking him like, "Are you a robot?" And he's like, "Well, I don't think so. What happens if I'm a robot?" And he's like, "If you go through this, this machine, it'll melt you in from the inside." And so now he's afraid of himself. Like the comedy was great.
Yeah.
That actor, Michael, no, I'm sorry. What is his name?
Oh, Loki or
Yeah, that plays Loki. I forgot his name. Tom Hiddleston.
Hiddleston. Yeah.
Hiddleston. He's great. Like he's great as Loki. But yeah, sorry, I'm taking up all the time. So yeah, you're gonna say some stuff. So yeah, it starts out with him being taken. He's at that the Time Variant Authority place. They're questioning him, and before they go to execute him, he's saved by Owen Wilson's character, Mobius, I think that's his name. And because apparently another Loki, so there, I guess there's three Lokis at this point. Another Loki is killing the time police. They show up to a place, and Loki just kills them. Somehow, like he stabs them or sets them on fire or whatever the case may be. And so the TVA needs this Loki to help them catch the other Loki. Interesting stuff. Also, for the people who are wondering if you did see the Avengers movie and you haven't seen Loki, they explain why the Avengers aren't in trouble for taking the Infinity Rings or Infinity Stones going back in time. And the reason being is was pretty much explained in that Endgame, where they take the stones and they put them right back where they were. And because of that, the timeline continues on. Like, I mean, there are some variants in terms of like who lives or dies. Like, some people just stay dead. Some people come back, but they're their younger selves. That does happen. But for the most part, the world doesn't destroy itself, and there's no multi-verse wars and all this other stuff. So yeah, so they're in the clear. Anywho, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, there was just so much that this did well. Like, yeah, Owen Wilson in this series, he's so good. He's like, a lot of times when you think about Owen Wilson, you don't think like the best acting ever. I think when I think Owen Wilson, I think like Wedding Crashers. But damn, he is good.
He's
Like,
done
he
other
was.
good movies.
Well, I'll go with what I think of. Like, yeah, he was great. And was he in Armageddon? I think he was in Armageddon. Yes, he was. No. I'm thinking, I might be thinking the wrong character. Well, anyway, yeah. Like, I didn't know he was that good. Like, everything he does in the show is great.
He wasn't Armageddon. He was up for an Oscar. Yep, he was Armageddon.
Yes. Yeah, but I just feel like this is, at least from the Owen Wilson movies I've seen, like I feel like this is just like one of the best performances. Like he did great. Like the part where he's in the church in the 1500s with the kid. Like I
Oh
just
yeah.
like I like the way he played that whole thing out. He just looked great during it.
Do you think it's
My
because it's do you think it's because it's not a comedy? I mean, there's funny parts, but a lot of his recent films have been comedies. That could be why.
That's probably why, just 'cause since it's more serious. Like there's some like comedic parts, but that's not the focus. The focus
Right.
is like, him basically being a cop, a detective. Yeah, so that's probably it. It's just the difference in the role. Like seeing somebody that in my experience hasn't really done serious roles and then seeing them do it so well. It's just that change. It's like a brush of fresh air for the actor.
Nice.
Yeah, so outside of that, it just like the way they explained everything, like their stuff. Like one of my favorite scenes that stuck with me. You saw when he tried to attack Owen Wilson when he was questioning him,
Yeah.
and he hit the switch and then like rewinded him back. There's later where Loki throws the chair that he was seated on, and Owen Wilson, he after he starts going crazy, Owen Wilson resets it back, and he ends up falling on the floor because the chair isn't there anymore. And he immediately explains it. He says, "Oh yeah, the device only backtracks you, not the furniture. Like the fact that they explained that immediately, I thought that was pretty cool.
I feel like it's
Because they were trying to explain
foreshadowing.
why. Yeah, I just like the way they like there wasn't a question about it. Like normally I was thinking, hey, why didn't the chair go back? He reset time. He didn't reset time. He reset him only.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is that it's not a full reset because Loki knows he's been reset. You know, it's not like because they have like these little time bomb things that they set off that I want to say erases everything and then sets it back. And so the people who were there, they don't remember anything that happened previously. It's you know, think Men in Black, right? But it's, in this case, you can actually you're experiencing yourself going backwards and forwards. And they kind of show that with Loki, where he gets out of his, you know, he steals the rewind thing, and he takes the collar off of his neck that makes him, you know, go back and forth, and he puts it on one of the captors. Yeah, and then he's spinning it back and forth, and she's like, "Stop! What you stop with your brother?" And like, you know, and so you see that she actually feels what's happening. Like she's telling him to stop doing that. It's not like she's rewinding and like her mind goes backwards, which is interesting. Again, I think this is all foreshadowing for some cool tricks that's going to be happening in the as the show goes on. But yeah, speaking of you know Owen Wilson, I like a lot of the people that they have just in the show. I really like and I can't pronounce her name. But she is the Nigerian actress who was on the HBO show with wow, I am drawing a blank here. Lovecraft Country. She played Ruby on Lovecraft Country. She's playing a one of the officers in this. Her name is Wunmi. Wunmi. I don't want to say it because I'm gonna ruin it. But she is a dope actress. Very good actress. I liked her in Lovecraft Country. I also liked her in His House, a horror film that's on Netflix. Very good film. She does an amazing job there as well. So I like that she's in it, like Owen Wilson, Tom Hiddleston, obviously, and just all the people so far, like the people that you meet, even the people who don't kind of stay around too long, do a really good job in their roles. Like for instance, that scene you're talking about when Owen is in the church and he's speaking French. In my head, I'm thinking, don't they know the other languages too? And then that cop was like, dude, I speak all the languages of the timelines as well. He's like, you jerk. Like, you know, like, because he was saying that the other guy
He's
was
an
gonna,
imbecile.
he's an imbecile because he was gonna attack a kid. He didn't know who the kid was. But it was cool because in doing so, you're finding out a lot of stuff about this world without having a lot of exposition. And what I mean by that is you don't have someone outside of that little video thing that they showed, the cartoon, you don't have someone just standing there saying, this is the rules, this is how stuff works, this is blah, blah, blah. Like you don't have a lot of that. It's kind of naturally happening. Like, oh, okay, now I found out that Owen Wilson actually knows every language. Okay. I actually found out that they were created, that they're not necessarily human. And you find that out because when they talk up when Loki's talking about the TSA and you know the gods that kind of brought them around, they're like, all you guys were created for just for this thing. You also find out because one of the intern, I guess he's an intern, talks about fish. He's like, I don't know what a fish is. And it's like, how do you not know what a fish is? And you realize that he was born there or created, and that he's always going to be there. So it's really interesting. Like you get to learn about this stuff, and this is mainly for people who don't know about the comic books. If you read up on the time variants, you kind of know where they come from. Like Mobius is actually in the comics. You know what happens and why he kind of pops up. And what's also interesting is that you know that they are not the absolute power, which is very interesting. Which is why I think we have this rogue Loki. They seem to be the absolute power. The Infinity Stones, none of them work where they are. The Tesseract doesn't work. Loki doesn't have his powers, so he can't like bully his way out. But even though they control time, or they try to control time, they're not the most powerful beings. They just kind of they don't know that they're not. And there's some good reasons for that. I don't want to spoil that part because that might come up later on in the show and we'll definitely talk about it. But if you read the comics or have just have knowledge of this stuff, you will know. But I think
Yeah.
that's where they're hinting at. There's some things that's going to happen that shows that they aren't as powerful as they think they are. And I'm looking forward to when that bubble bursts because in the role of or Loki's role, because he's the main character, you're kind of in his shoes, right? And so you root for him, even though he's not necessarily, I mean, he is a good character eventually, but not right now. So, or a good guy, I should say. And so, like, you kind of root for him. So, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope he gets eventually gets even, or at the very least, get out of here and like make them look like fools, you know? But obviously, that's not happening in the first episode.
Yeah. The thing I liked about the show the most in general, and the reason why I like put it on like the GOAT pedestal for Disney Plus shows, it is the fact that they basically in the beginning of the show, because of the way it starts, they reset all the character development Loki went through. That
Oh,
basically
yeah.
all gets taken away. They reset all of it. And that's 10 years of movies, and I guess that's four movies he was in. No, Avengers, Thor, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, four mo plus Infinity, so 6 movies he was in. And so that's a lot of time for him to develop his character and change to where he's basically a good guy in by the time he dies in Endgame. So. In Loki, they manage to bring all that character development from 6 movies into like 35 minutes. It's great. Like when he goes in there, he's his Thor 1/Thor 2 self and Avengers self,
Right.
where he's cocky, arrogant, thinks he's god of everything. He wants to rule. Blah 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 blah. And you just see him getting beat down throughout, like his confidence getting beat down throughout the episode, to the point where he sees the Infinity Stone, he escapes. He goes, grabs the Tesseract, and he realizes, wait, you have Infinity Stones? Why? Like, yeah. And then the guy says, oh, these are basically paperweights here, and it just like that basically destroys him. Like he
Yeah.
pretty much gives up. Like the next scene, you see him sitting down crying. And then he has that whole like realization of like what he really is, like the like what he said, I think it was what he said fear was, to Owen Wilson when they were speaking in the room.
Right.
He's like something for the weak to feel powerful, blah 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 blah.
Oh, they
And
feel
then
like
he,
they're in control because they're afraid or something like that.
yes, exactly. And then he says that same line he said to Owen Wilson, he says about himself at the end of the episode. And
Yeah.
it's pretty much word for word exactly what he said. And like the fact that they were able to fit all that character development in 30 minutes or 35 minutes or so and not make it weird is amazing. That's just good writing, good acting. It's good everything.
Yeah, and what's also cool is that he's not exactly who he was either, because he sees what happens. He sees that his, you know, his he finally got the love from his father that he wanted. He finally got, you know, he made up with his brother. Like they have a relationship. He sees how he dies, and so all that information is coming in via the, you know, I guess the time film projector or whatever. And so he's still, even then, he's still not the Loki we remember from there either. He's not his original self. He's not the Loki from Endgame. He's a different Loki. He's a third Loki because how he gets this information is different. It's rapid. And so not only does is there his, I guess his alliance and in terms of him being good or bad is in question still, even though he was developed as a character, he also has to question his purpose, which is why the first episode is called Glorious Purpose. Because if the only thing that he's there to do is to make, you know, Thor be great, or for certain things to happen to make certain heroes get together, which is basically what they're telling him. Like, you're only here to cause mischief, to eventually turn good, to eventually help the other guys do the job that they need to do in stopping Thor, or not Thor, Thanos. And
Thanos.
then your story ends. So not only that, he has to swallow that. And that is a weird moment for him because, or very, very, in a sense that it could be a weird moment for him because maybe he doesn't accept that. Maybe he doesn't accept that I have to die for someone else to be great. He's dealing with his own insecurities before this happens, and then he sees himself die to boost up his brother. It's kind of like, that's a rough way to go. So yeah, like how he develops over the course of the series, I'm really interested in. Because knowing all this information, what Loki are we gonna get? Are we gonna, because he said he doesn't like hurting people. And I think he was being honest. I don't think he was lying. Like, I think he doesn't like it. And there is some good in him. But is he gonna stay this way, knowing the road he has to take? And not only that, if they go back, and because they went back and they erased like the part where he kind of falls into the desert, they erased that part. How are they going to put him back in the timeline with this information? Because again, they usually just bring you back, sit you in the spot, rewind time, then kill the variant you, and the other you kind of goes on with the timeline. How are they going to justify this now? You know what I mean? Like, this, it's really interesting. A really interesting story, because now, is he going to be a time cop for the rest of his life? Obviously, he gets out because there's a third Loki running around killing people. You know what I mean? So, like, how they kind of do that was also cool. And this is something that they kind of nodded at, or like kind of gave hints at in the trailers. And this is also something that they've done in the WandaVision show and the Sam and Winter Soldier show, is that they pull from multiple comics. And one of the comics is Loki as president. I read that, funny stuff. And I think it's going to be a multiverse thing where they see him, or maybe a different timeline thing where they see him as the president. And it's going to be hilarious. I just know it. If they pull what they pull, the right stuff from the comics, yeah, it's going to be a hilarious thing. It really is. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to more of this season, to the great acting and the mystery. I believe it's only going to be like 8 episodes, though, I want to say. Which, actually, no, it's 6 episodes. My bad. However, this is one of the only ones that's going to have a second season. So, or at the very least, has been planned to have a second season. They were saying, Marvel was saying that the other shows were kind of written to be one and done because they move into movies or to films. And if they were to do a second season, it wouldn't necessarily be like, if there was another WandaVision series, a second season wouldn't be WandaVision. It would be kind of like Wanda and someone else, or maybe Doctor Strange or whatever. It would be kind of second, like a spiritual successor type of thing. Whereas Loki, I believe, is going to have 2 seasons. So that should be interesting. But yeah, I think that's it. Did you have anything else to say about Loki?
Only thing I was gonna say is like, we would have to be crazy to think he's not gonna be in Thor: Love and Thunder. He's gonna be in that movie.
That would be cool. I mean, so far they haven't, they finished filming, but they haven't actually said, like, casting wise, if he's in it. I could see him coming up as a after credits type thing, like a big, like, surprise, like, ha, Loki's back. And that would be very cool, actually. But I don't think he's going to be a focused or like main character, just because of the story that they have going on with those characters. But I'm looking forward to it, though. Definitely looking forward to it. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast. We're at 1 hour 30, which seems to be our normal time as of late, with so much stuff to talk about, from E3 to all the shows that are coming out. There's a ton of stuff we left off the list, whether it's Paramount Plus, Hulu. There's a lot of cool stuff to watch. And if you're a nerd for anime, video games, manga, movies, there's a lot. There's a lot. I actually plan on going to the movie soon, which should be a great experience. Hopefully, if people know how to act. I know we haven't been out and about since COVID started. So, yeah. I still want to go see a movie, though. I definitely want to go. I honestly don't care what it is at this point. I just want to go. I was tempted. I had Regal sent me a email to kind of get people back in the theater, and they were like, if you go see if you go to see what's the name of that movie? They were saying like if you get tickets for this film, you will get free popcorn. And I was like, really? Peter Rabbit 2. If you go see Peter Rabbit 2 and you get a ticket through Regal's, Crown Club or, their app or whatever the case may be, you get free popcorn. And I was tempted just because I haven't been to the movies in a while. I really don't want to see Peter Rabbit. I'm just saying. I was tempted. But yeah, I'm
Oh, I
going
got
to.
my movie. Sorry, I got my movie for going back to the theaters. I already made the decision. When Black Widow comes out, that's my first trip to the theaters.
Oh, word?
Yeah,
Black Widow?
the theater for me is walking distance, so it's like a. So I'm just gonna walk over, watch Black Widow. Probably be the only one in there, but I'm watching it.
I definitely want to see it as a Marvel fan. And I think the hype has died down because it got pushed back so much, and also because I think this film should have came out before she dies. But whatever. I definitely want to see it. I think the first film for me is probably going to be the Hitman's Bodyguard's wife. No, the
Oh, isn't that like next week?
well there's a early showing tomorrow, and then it comes out officially on Friday, I think. No, I'm sorry. It comes out officially next week. But yeah, I want to go see that. I liked the first one. It was okay. It was pretty cool. And Samuel L. and his name fell out. Deadpool basically are funny together. So I definitely want to go see that. And I figured why not? A Quiet Place 2 is I want to see that as well, and I might go to the movies to see that, but it's also coming to Paramount Plus, and since I have a year of that, I might just wait. I don't know. I don't know.
Really, really good.
I heard it was really good too. So we'll see. But I'm gonna go to the movies. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm still gonna wear masks because I don't trust you people, and gonna have a good time, hopefully. But beyond that, feel free to follow. And subscribe, all that good stuff. Hit that notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on any other platform, add us to your RSS feed. Subscribe if you're on Apple. Apple's doing a whole new subscription service later this month. We're not really there yet in terms of paid subscriptions, but you can still subscribe so you can get notified when all of our new episodes pop up. Also, you can check it out on Audioboom, which actually has the links to all of them. So, if you go to Audioboom, you can actually check out the Gamecast in all different places and just pick the one that you want to listen to us from. But just make sure to subscribe, to share, tell your friends. Tess isn't here, so I'm not gonna do her closing. She's way better at that than I am. What I will say though is that you want to keep up with all the episodes because we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. There's a lot of content coming out in the next, actually, in the next few weeks, not even months. But yeah, the rest of the year is going to be pretty eventful with movies and stuff because, similar to the video games, they're all dropping around the same time because COVID is, we're seeing some relief from COVID. And so they want to get their movies out before the other big dogs come out. So, Black Widow, it wants to get out of the way before. Shang-Chi and the was it Ten Rings or whatever? It wants to get out of the way,
Yeah.
essentially. Which I will be in the theater for that as well. Anywho, again, thanks for hanging out with us, and we will see you next time. Take it easy.